Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in the first epistle of Peter, the first chapter, beginning with the 17th verse. If you call on the Father who judges impartially according to the work of each person, conduct yourselves during the time of your pilgrimage in reverence, because you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, not with things that pass away, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. He was chosen before the foundation of the world, but revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, we really are strangers in this world. We have a totally different outlook on life compared to anybody else. That's because we are children of God, not children of this world. We don't go along with the sinful pleasures of this world. In fact, we could say, Christians, you are strangers here. First of all, you are different because you are bought with the precious blood of Christ. Our old life, because you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, not with things that pass away, such as silver or gold. Our sinful life. Our life at birth, first of all. At birth, we are opposed to God and to his ways and to his word. At birth, we are told, do whatever you want to do. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you might be dead. And who cares what God has to say? You live for the moment. You don't think about tomorrow. Just make today the best you can and do whatever you want to do. I've often heard the statement, I am the master of my fate. I determine what happens to me throughout my life. And to make that possible, sinful man says, I'm going to enjoy everything that this world has to offer, especially what Satan has to offer. Things that are opposed to God's will. And because of that, those people who live that way are condemned to eternal death. And they have no way out if they rely on themselves. But then enters Christ. We're told of him, he was chosen before the foundation of the world, but revealed in these last times for your sake. When was Jesus told that he would have to go down to this earth, this sinful earth, that he would have to leave heaven, that he would have to take upon himself the form of a human being with all of its weaknesses? When was he told that he would have to face the devil every single day of his life, but never once fall to his temptations? When was he told that he would have to give up his life on the cross? When was he told that you would have to overcome death and the devil with your resurrection? When was he told that you would eventually have to go back to heaven? All of that happened before the world was even created. Because God, in his knowledge, his foreknowledge, knew what Adam and Eve would do. He knew that sin would enter the world, and because of that sin, all people would deserve to be damned eternally, and he didn't want that. For God, our Savior, will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He said, since I know mankind can't do it, Jesus, my son, I'm going to send you to do it for them. And he did. But with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. What a description that is of Jesus. A human being without blemish or spot. His life, not stained in any way possible. Never, ever once, from birth to death, did he disobey his father. He was a perfect child. When he entered his public ministry and he was insulted, he didn't return the insult with another one. When he was opposed, he didn't say, "I'm going to get even with you." He let it happen because he knew that his father would take care of those people, and that would happen on Judgment Day. He was there not to oppose, but to save us. And he did that with his perfect life, with his death on the cross, with his resurrection. His perfect life to do what we couldn't do, obeying God's laws perfectly, and he did it. His death, which paid for the sins of all people of all time. His resurrection, the victory over death and the devil, therefore us knowing that we will one day also rise to live with him in glory, knowing that the devil will try, but he won't succeed in leading us away because Jesus is the victor. It doesn't mention his descent into hell, but what a triumph that was. He goes into the stronghold of the devil, and the devil can't touch him because he was the conquering hero. He purchased us with his blood, made us children of God and heirs of life. And so now you are different. You are believers. Not in the things of this world, but instead believers in Christ. Through him you are believers in God. You believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. How many people agree with you in that? How many people think, "Oh, Jesus did a lot of good things, but I still have to do good works too to earn my way to heaven because Jesus didn't do enough"? What did he say right before he died? "It is finished. My work is complete. Sins are paid for. The way to heaven is open. Just believe me. Believe that I am your Savior." And we as children of God do exactly that. Give him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. We give him glory. We honor him. When I have young people come to me and say, "Pastor, it's really difficult. I'm away from home for the first time. I really don't know what to do. I'm being tempted to do this or that." My first comment is, ask yourself, would Jesus want you to do this? Would you be honoring Jesus if you gave way to your sinful flesh and started taking drugs or whatever else? If the answer is no, then don't do it. Your life, you are here to honor the Lord in everything you think, say, and do. And you can do it, not because of your own abilities, but because the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to honor God. But living that way means you are different. And you are different because you're a child of God. You are also different because you are called to live in reverent fear. These first words, "If you call on the Father who judges impartially according to the work of each person." First time I heard that when I was a kid, it really petrified me. God knows everything you have done. You may be able to hide it when you're a kid from your parents, or you may be able to hide it from your boss at work, or you may be able to hide it from your neighbors, but nothing is hidden from God. He knows everything about each one of you. And so he says, because I know that, conduct yourselves during the time of your pilgrimage with reverence. The ESV also says reverence and fear. Fear, not being afraid, fear being honoring. Conduct yourselves in a way that honors God. And to do that, who do you trust? Through him you are believers in God who raised you from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. You trust in God, not in yourself. If I had to trust myself to honor God, I would be lost a long time ago. I wouldn't be here. Because my sinful nature is there, just like with you people. But I trust God. I have faith in him. That means I believe, first of all, he's my Savior, but I also believe that he's by my side. Every single minute of every day of my life, he is there. When things go well, maybe I don't even think about it. But when things get difficult, I say, Lord, you promised to be with me, help me. And he does. We're different from the world there because the world says, trust yourself. You can do anything if you try hard enough. Maybe I can do a lot of things, but without God's help, I can't honor God. And that's what he wants us to do. But it goes beyond this world. He also speaks of hope. And that's eternity, isn't it? We have the sure hope of eternal life. It's sure because it is not determined by how many good works we have done. Martin Luther, when he first decided to become a monk in his church, the Catholic Church, he did everything he could possibly think of doing to earn God's favor. And yet every night he said, have I done enough? Well, God let him know it's not what you do. It's because you believe. Works, yeah, they're there. Not to gain salvation, but to honor God. So don't worry about what you have to do. Be concerned about what Jesus has done for you. He has opened the gates for heaven for you. Therefore, you have the sure hope of eternal life. Now we look at the people of this world. What do they think about their future? Some don't believe in any future. When you die, you're dead. You're in the grave. That's it. Others think, oh, we're all going to go to heaven because God is love. And he will overlook anything and everything bad that we do, but he's just going to put us there. Others say only a select group of people will go to heaven, all the rest stay in the grave. And there's other ideas. But none of them have that sure hope of going to heaven. A couple of times, this goes back near the beginning of my ministry, when I would visit somebody in the hospital, there would be two or three people in that room. There were not solo rooms like there are now. And a couple of times as I had a devotion with my member, another person in that room would say, Pastor, would you come and talk to me? I need to know what's going on because I'm about to die and I don't know what's going to happen. Sadly, that is the case so often. And yes, I talked to that person. And yes, I told them about Jesus. And that's where I left it, because that's in their hands. We have the sure hope. We know we're going to heaven. We know that when we die, our body's going to go in the ground, yes, but it's going to be raised on judgment day, and the Lord's going to take us to live with him in glory. That is sure. But because we believe that, we're strangers on this earth. We do not fit in with the ways of this world. We do not believe that we are free to do whatever we want, that we are the master of our fate. We believe that Jesus is our Savior. We honor Him in all that we say, think, and do. That makes us strangers here, yes, but it also makes us heirs of heaven. Amen.